Have you ever wondered how two people can look at the same picture, hear the same teacher, or watch the same movie, and come away or walk away with two very different experiences or views? Right? If you go to an art gallery, you can look at a picture and go, oh, I see the water. And the person's like, I don't even see the water. I see people, right? It can be something like that. Or for example, I know in our family, we like action movies, action adventure type movies, if we're going to sit down and enjoy a movie together. And at the end of the movie, sometimes we as a family will talk about, you know, what did you think that was a good movie, or what was your favorite part? And for Julie, she really likes it when the two action people, kind of the lady and the man, find each other and they have that adventure and then they fall in love and the end of the movie is happily ever after. Whereas me and the boys, we, if I'm honest, we are comparing what part of the car chase was the best or which sword fight was the coolest. And so we walk away with two very different views or experiences in watching a movie. And there may be movies, stories, things you read or experienced in life where there's clearly an underlying theme or message that is portrayed that you get, and yet everyone else around you doesn't see it at all. Well, today we're looking at Jesus's teachings, and specifically we're looking at his parable, some of his parables. And Jesus tells us that some will understand and some won't. And what is surprising is that this is part of the intended goal of how Jesus is teaching. Now, why would Jesus not want everyone to understand what he is teaching? Well, we're going to look at that today. Mark Twain, many of you have heard of him, he once said this, "It's not the parts of the Bible I don't understand that bother me, but the parts I do understand." Oh, that's interesting. As we look at Jesus' teachings, among them, we can read a number of passages, some that are very easy and to understand and to grasp, and others that are very hard to understand or grasp the meaning. And the teachings we're going to get into today is about God's kingdom with these parables. Now, again, we're in our series. If you're just joining us, we're in a series in the book of Mark. The gospel begins. And again, this is a series where we've started in January. We're taking right through to the summer. We're going to be going through this book of Mark together. A big theme of Mark is that Jesus is Lord over all. He has authority over all, just like we sang in that song, The Cornerstone. Jesus is Lord over all. And Mark, in this book, he challenges us. How are we going to respond in faith to Jesus? Mark's gospel has been a fast-moving gospel. It's a very action-packed book, laying out the ministry of Jesus for us. And as we continue today, we're going to see Mark continues on laying out Jesus' ministry. But what we've seen so far, we've read of the authority and the power of Jesus. We've also started seeing some conflict beginning as Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God and this conflict with the religious leaders of the day. And we've seen how these religious leaders are even repeatedly challenging Jesus in his teaching and ministry. And they're seeking now and looking to band with others to destroy Jesus. And last week we read of how Jesus appointed his 12 apostles who are going to go out and spread the news of him and his message. And Jesus also taught us last week of how he provides forgiveness of sin. And he affirmed his mission that God the Father had sent him with. And so if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 4. We're going to be in most of chapter 4 today. And as we look at this passage today, as you're turning there, the Gospel of Mark so far has really focused on a lot of the action, as I mentioned, of Jesus rather than his teachings. Mark has told us about Jesus' teaching and that people were amazed at Jesus' teaching, but he hasn't actually given us the teaching that Jesus has said. And so here, for the first time, Mark actually focuses in on what Jesus has been teaching, and he's using parables. Let's pray as we come to God's word. God, again, we thank you for this time in your scriptures. God, you bless us immensely with your word. And as we come to your word, God, we are humbled by it. Help us to read it, to seek to understand it, God, to learn and apply it in our lives. And so bless our time in your word, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to begin reading in verse 1 of chapter 4, if you'd follow along. Let's hear the word of the Lord. Again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And he sowed some seed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, that the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into the good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Let's pause there. And so this first parable from Jesus that Mark shares with us is known as the parable of the sower. And this is one of Jesus' more well-known parables. It's not only here in the book of Mark, it's also found in the book of Luke and Matthew in the New Testament. And like most parables, it is a story that contains some great teaching about God's kingdom, both for the audience that Mark is writing to and for us. Mark sets the scene for us. Jesus is teaching by the Sea of Galilee, and this large crowd gathers around him, and so he gets into a boat to then teach, and so it kind of the boat becomes his note stand. And he teaches from the boat, and due to the Sea of Galilee, the way it is, it's sloped up on its shores, and it creates kind of an amphitheater effect. And if you've ever gone to the beach here in town and just tried to shout at your spouse or your kids on the water, the sound carries very well. And Jesus uses his natural amphitheater to teach the crowds. Now, the Greek word for parable, has a broader meaning than in English. It can refer to a variety of literary devices, including sayings, proverbs, analogies, metaphors, and similes. And we need to understand, parables are not just homilies to illustrate a simple point. Jesus uses parables in teaching indirectly. This kind of teaching requires investment, thought, to seek out the meaning. And if we're not willing to put in the work, we will not be able to see the meaning. And as we read the parables that Jesus taught, we need to have an open mind, an open heart to learning of the kingdom of God. Parables push us to love and serve God, to learn of his kingdom and God's purposes. Jesus came to call people to repent, to transform their lives, to transform their entire perspective of God and life. And so when we turn to Jesus, we need to repent of our sin. We need to allow the Holy Spirit, as we've been talking over the last few weeks, allow the Holy Spirit to transform us from within. And one commentator I read, he said this. He said, "Parables don't always make something obscure clearer by using vivid language. On the contrary, they may only confuse you. Unless you are willing to put in some effort to learn the truth behind them, risk seeing God in a new way, and be willing to allow God to transform you." And so when we think through the parables, they should change our view of God, they should change our view of this world, and they should lead us to God and into his truth. And this indirect way of learning God's truth can make some of us maybe a little uncomfortable. Like me as your pastor, I don't desire to come and teach you on a Sunday or at a Bible study time in a way that makes you unclear or confused, or I don't want to fail and leave you wondering. And yet, this part of Mark's book suggests that we may fail to understand the truth of the gospel and rob it of some of its power if we think that everything has to be kept simple, clear, and easy. It's easy for us to look in throughout the scriptures and see Jesus did not strive to make his audience comfortable and at ease. Jesus' teaching caused a separation amongst those who were actually listening to him. He created a split with those who gathered to learn of the kingdom of God, learn the gospel message of salvation, and those who didn't really have a desire to learn. Jesus created separation between those who were kind of just curious, Who's this new guy? What's he up to? What's he about? And those who are actually serious about following Jesus as a disciple. Between those seeking a show and those seeking God, their creator. And Jesus wanted to see those who were following him to be people who had a desire for a genuine faith. And this applies to you and I today as the church. We are the church today. We are to be making disciples. That is our mission. Making disciples. But making disciples who are seeking genuine faith. Do we help people as a church? Do you and I help people learn God's word? Do we help them apply it in their daily lives? Do we help them to become true image bearers of God? This, again, is what you and I are called to as the church. So let me walk through this parable with you. It's a story from the everyday life of the people of Israel. It has some spiritual application. Keep in mind the constants here, this parable. It's the seed and the soil that receives the seed. The sower is casting the seed out everywhere, on the path, the rocks, the weeds, and the good soil. And just so we know also, in the Old Testament, sowing was a metaphor for God's work, okay? And in the book of Mark, we've seen Jesus' mission was then to go out and spread the word of God. And so the first place we see the seed falls is along the path. And if you ever walked along a dirt path, you know the dirt gets trampled down. And so the seed just lays on top of that path, and the birds are able to easily come and swoop down and eat the seeds. And the second place we see the seed falls here is on rocky places. And this most likely is an area with a thin layer of dirt on top with rock underneath. And the dirt may be only a few inches deep. So the sun warms the soil, the seed germinates, and it springs up. But the roots are shallow. The plant eventually starves to death from lack of moisture and withers. And then the third place where the seed falls, it falls among thorns. And this probably looked okay soil, but it contained weeds in it. And so the dormant weeds and the thorns would grow up together along with the plants and choke them out before they could bear any fruit. Kind of like, I don't know about you, but my weeds on my lawn choke out my lawn. There's a lot of weeds. Then Jesus closes with the fourth place where the seed falls on good soil. And the seed falls here. And what does it do? It produces a great crop, right? But what does Jesus then say at the end here? He then closes the parable with an exhortation. He wants the crowd to hear. And Jesus uses the words. He says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." When you read through the four Gospels in the New Testament, Jesus uses that word hear a lot. He wants us to hear. And hearing implies thinking through, actually taking time to think through what Jesus has said. Wrestle with it. Seek to understand it. And then obey it. Okay? Let's keep reading. Look at verse 10. It says, "And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, 'To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven.' And he said to them, 'Do you understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of the riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those who are sown on good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Now, before explaining the parable to the disciples, Jesus gives some insight into why he teaches with parables. And part of the reason is so that the truth that he is teaching will remain hidden to those on the outside. Those on the outside, those who do not have ears to hear, remain ignorant of the parable's true meaning. They see Jesus teaching, they hear his words, but they don't really understand. They don't choose to believe. And Jesus quotes here from Isaiah 6, where God was speaking words of judgment against Israel in the Old Testament. They were refusing to hear God's word and listen to his word. And so Jesus is saying that he uses parables as a teaching method, both to conceal and to reveal. And the parables are meant to conceal truth from those whose hearts are hardened towards God. They're meant to reveal truth to those who will listen with an open heart, open mind, who have a willingness to learn God's truth. The parables are all about unlocking and understanding and seeing God's kingdom at work in Jesus and in the world around you. Now, there's a few perspectives that we can take in looking at this parable. One way is to look at it from the perspective of the job of the one who's sowing, proclaiming the word of God, spreading the seed. And since Jesus does not say that he is the sower, this can mean that anyone can spread God's word. And that is the task you and I still have today. We are given the mission by Jesus to go and spread God's word, to sow seed. And we can also use this parable as a help with the church and its mission, especially in discouraging times. We as a church and as individuals, we can only sow. We can spread God's word. That is our mission. We can't do anything to change the nature of the soil where it lands. We cannot be responsible for the condition or the nature of those who hear the word of God. Or we can look at the parable from the perspective of the soils itself and the responsibility to hear properly, meaning you and I, how do we hear the word? We are, you and I, are to take responsibility for what kind of soil we are. Do we truly hear God's word? Do we truly allow God's word to work in our lives? Do we repent of our sin and turn to Jesus? Now, the thrifty in us, in reading this parable, may look at this sower and go, wow, he is being frivolous. He is tossing seed everywhere. Why is he just tossing seed everywhere? Why would he not be more careful and only put the seed on what he knows is the good soil? But in the parable, Jesus spends more time on the wasted seed and soils than on the seed that is successful. You see, the sower does not prejudge the soil or evaluate which soil has more potential. And this applies to us in that Jesus shows us there's to be no concern in our spreading of the seed or spreading of God's word to only hit certain target groups or only talk to people about God's word that we feel are kind of like us. No, we are to spread God's word to everyone in this whole world. And in this parable, we are not to judge where the sower has scattered the seed. We are to see how sowing seed is the only way to actually get a harvest. And as God sends the rain for the just and the unjust, Jesus also sows his word, spreads his word to the good and bad soil. And just like the sower, in our parable, he excludes no one from hearing his word. Now, as we've been going through Mark, we can see this is very different from the Pharisees at the time, the religious leaders at the time, right? As we looked over the past couple of weeks, we see that they would have excluded the lepers, the tax collectors, the sick, the sinners. They would see them as a lost cause, loss of opportunity, move on. But Jesus in this parable shows us that failure is not unexpected. Some of the seed will be eaten, choked, withered away. And this shows us some people are going to reject God's truth, reject God's word. And the parable also makes the point how some seed will fall in the right place and it will bring fruit. But Jesus is not saying only sow seed where you think is the right place, where you think the conditions will produce a crop. When we're spreading God's word, we don't know the condition of people's hearts until we share it with them. And the parable reminds us that success comes from God alone. And we're going to see that more as we read on. But as a sower, we cannot take any credit that comes from sowing or spreading God's word. We cannot beat ourselves on the other side down, though, in failure for people not to receive God's word or respond to God's word. We as sowers are called to be not successful. We are called to be faithful. And to be faithful, we need to share the whole of the gospel message with people, with everyone, including the uncomfortable parts. And we need to be okay with the results. This reminded me of the safety instructions that you receive when you fly on a plane. I don't know if you've ever flown on a plane. If you do ever get the opportunity, you will be given the safety briefing by one of the flight attendants. They will come up into the aisle in front of everyone. They will hold up a sample seatbelt and show you how it clicks together, how you can release it if you need to go to the bathroom. They will show you by pointing out the exits on the plane. They will show you very easily where the aisles will light up in case of an emergency landing. They will show you how you dig under your seat for that life vest if there's going to be a water landing, and how you put it on over your head. You tug the cord and it's going to expand. And if it doesn't expand, use the hose to blow it up, right? And then lastly, they tell you where the air mask is going to drop out in case of loss of cabin pressure. You need to put it on yours first before you help someone else, which makes no sense, but we are all supposed to do that. And that's what you're told. But have you ever been on the plane and watching those instructions and looking at the person next to you? My last flight, the guy was literally next to the flight attendant who was giving these instructions. And he was answering emails on his phone. I'm like, this is life stuff, man. Pay attention. What if they change something? We need to know this. And this is instructions and information that the airline is going to give you. Whether you like it or not, you will receive that information. They've done their job in telling you. It's up to you to listen, and then in a case of emergency, apply it. Now, if we look at the parable from the perspective of our responsibility of receiving the word as good soil, there's application for us here. One is the recognition that unlike soil, we as humans can change. We can change. Red Green teaches us that. The parable serves as a warning to us. If we're not careful, we can fail in our being good soil. We may be good soil, and you may think, I'm good, I'm set for life. No. Eventually, you could fail at being good soil. And so we need to work to be good soil, not become bad soil. We can move from being a person who seeks God first and foremost to someone who seeks other things instead of Christ. Or you make other things more important than God in your life. And so we need to be careful of the dangers that cause bad soil to be bad. God's word is to impact all of our lives. It's to impact our eternal relationship with God, our Creator. And so keep working. Keep trying to be that good soil. And when you are good soil, it will help you when persecutions and trials come your way. You won't falter when you face those tough times. And being good soil can also help keep you from the dangers of things like materialism or idol worship. Jesus in his teaching talks about not having two masters. We're either following Jesus or we're not. And so what kind of soil are you? This is a self-evaluation time. Are you the beaten down path soil, representing those who don't want to repent and don't want to turn to Jesus? Are you the rocky soil, the one who wants only a life without trials and hardship? Are you the thorny soil, and your life is wrapped up in chasing things like money, fame, the best things in life? Or do you desire to be the good soil? And to be good soil, we need to strive to constantly read God's word, get into God's word, be learning it, be wrestling with it, and applying it. Let's keep reading. Look at verse 21. He said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use it, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For the one who has more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Now, Mark references a couple of shorter teachings from Jesus here, and it's kind of a condensed version of what we can read in Matthew's gospel in the Sermon on the Mount. The lamp in the first parable likely refers to the message of the kingdom of God. And although the kingdom of God has come with Jesus at present in a veiled form, one day it will be fully revealed. And it shows God's purpose and desire to make his light, his truth, to be seen by everyone. And God's glory is meant to be seen and to be shown. And Jesus' reign as the Son of God will be made clear after his death and resurrection, and also will be fully revealed at Christ's return. And then Jesus shares the parable of the measure, and this one's referring to how people respond to God's light. And the analogy is most likely drawn from the marketplace at that current time. You see, a person's integrity in the markets at this time was shown by the accuracy of their scales and the way that they would measure. And so Jesus says, by the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and more will be added to you. The analogy essentially means what goes around comes around, or you get out of life what you put into it. Those who make the effort to hear and respond to the kingdom of God, you're going to receive back on your investment and even more. And those who respond positively to the kingdom of God, they will receive even greater revelation than those who reject it. They will be blinded. And so this follows Jesus' explanation for why he teaches in parables, and there's a warning here and a promise for us. We need to take care. How do we respond to God's word? We have access to God's truth. We have God's word. We can read it. Don't turn away from it. Let's keep reading. Look at verse 26. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. And he said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of a mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches, so the birds of the air can make its nest in its shade. With many such parables, he spoke the word of God to them. As they were able to hear it, he did not speak to them without parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. Now, Jesus gives two more short parables about the kingdom of God here, both speaking to the nature and the growth of God's kingdom. The first is the parable of this growing a seed. And again, the farmer plants the seed, and then he goes about his daily business after he plants. The plant grows on its own, from seed to harvest. The point is that the kingdom of God is ultimately the work of God. He will bring it about in his sovereign plans and time, and by his power. And we learn from this parable that if we want to see God's kingdom grow, we need to be part of that, what Jesus calls us to in our mission. We need to plant the seed. We need to share God's word with others, the good news of Jesus. But God is the one who's going to make that seed grow. God will make his kingdom grow. And we learn from God's purposes here. We learn that God's purposes will be fulfilled in God's way, again, at God's time. And God entrusts the secrets of these purposes to those who are willing, again, to seek him, trust him, learn from him. And the second parable is the mustard seed here. And this is another well-known parable. Though it is a small seed, the mustard seed grows into a great plant on which birds can rest. The point is that the kingdom will begin small, yet eventually will fill the whole earth. And Jesus refers to what happens here as a mustard seed. God transforms this tiny seed into a 6 to 10 foot plant in the garden. And what God will accomplish through the death and resurrection of Jesus will be so much more extraordinary than that. And God's kingdom, again, starts small. God's not interested in the flash and the show. God is interested in changing people's hearts and lives one person at a time. God doesn't seek out the brightest and the best, but he seeks out sinners who know they need a Savior and will turn to him. And Jesus is pointing to the truth of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is present in the work of Jesus. And who at this time, as Jesus is teaching this, would have thought that what Jesus was teaching here and starting here, this small band of disciples, would have eventually reached all the nations of the world? As we've read over the last couple of weeks here, the religious leaders, they missed it. And we saw last week too how even at that point in this Jesus' ministry, his family missed it. What Jesus starts small with his disciples is going to be fully realized at Christ's return. The signs that point to God's ultimate reign are small and humble, but God's kingdom is growing. His kingdom is growing. And someday it is going to fill the whole earth. And if you're part of Christ now, then you're part of that. And that's to be encouraging for us. Even when we feel like we're small or we feel like nothing's happening in this world, God is at work. God is God has planned, and he's working his plan to come about. And so the parables are unique, yes, in how Jesus uses them in his teaching. And we're to read them, we're to think through them, we're to wrestle with them and struggle with them and learn. We need to submit our heart, soul, and mind to Jesus. We need to wrestle with these teachings, pray that God would help us to understand. For God desires to show us his great mysteries and to demonstrate to us how Jesus brought the kingdom of God. And we live in this time between when the seed is sown or being sown and the end time when the harvest will arrive at God's and God's purposes will be fully accomplished. The parables can bring encouragement because when we think nothing is changing again, when we think nothing is happening, again, like that seed underground, God is working. God is still at work. And these parables remind us, too, that any sowing of seed, the spreading of God's word that we do, its success does not depend on our efforts, but on God. And we can focus our eyes on what God is doing and be obedient to what he calls us to in spreading the good news of Jesus. And the parable encourages us to have patient faith. We live in a day of instant everything, right? God calls us to a patient faith where God brings the growth. And it follows his timing. So ask yourself, do you recognize God's teaching and authority in your life? Do you seek to understand God's word and apply it in your life? Are you being that good soil? Are you maintaining being that good soil? And are you spreading God's word? Let's pray. God, we thank you for this time in your word this morning. And we thank you for these parables of Jesus that we've been able to read through and look at, God. Help us to always seek you first, God. Help us to look to your word, to wrestle with your word, to think about your word, to learn it and apply it in our lives. And God, may we allow the Holy Spirit in us to transform us, to be like you more and more each day, God. And God, also help us then to take that message and to proclaim that message to this world, to those in our family, our friend groups, Lord, our schools, our workplaces. Help us to proclaim the good news of Jesus to everyone who needs to hear it, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.